Grainger knows when you're a procurement manager for an office park, you're not managing one building. You're managing all of them. And to stay ahead, you need to see through walls and around corners. Lights about to fail, filters ready to clog, HVAC on its last leg. If you wait until something breaks, you're already behind. Count on Grainger for quality products, easy reordering, and 24/7 support. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. It is a monumental day here at the Todd Starnes radio program. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us on radio. Thank you, all of you that are watching us on Facebook and YouTube and Rumble. We have a jam-packed program for you today and a lot of live reaction to what's happening up at the Supreme Court. Tony Perkins is here from the Family Research Council. Also, we're going to be checking in with Wendy Patrick and Luke Ball, and our chief political strategist, Josh Jones, will be joining us a little bit later on in the program as well. Well, here's what you need to know. The Supreme Court just signed America's death warrant. That's what happened here when the Chief Justice, John Roberts, and Amy Coney Barrett sided with the far left side of the bench and declared that birthright citizenship is now the law of the land. And it means, very literally, that any child born on American soil is automatically an American citizen, and that includes the offspring of the illegals who have invaded our nation. It is a very troubling development. We're going to be taking your calls, getting your reaction on this. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Right away, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend from the great state of Texas, Congressman Keith Self. Congressman, thank you for joining us on short notice, and I want to get your reaction right away to what happened at the court today.
Well, it was, to use your word, monumentally bad. When we say that anyone can come to the United States either illegally or even legally on a tourist or temporary visa, they have a baby here, and now not only is that baby a citizen, but it leads to future family immigration. Look, we know that China has supercharged this birth tourism and scanned for up to 1.5 million babies. And when those babies reach majority, they can bring any number of family members. So, first of all, Congress needs to overturn this. I'm a co-sponsor on Brian Babin's, Representative Babin's bill to end birthright citizenship. We have to do that. But look, the Supreme Court obviously does not care that what they did. What this tells me is that Trump derangement syndrome even extends to the Supreme Court, because there's no way you can justify this totally opens the doors to people to come to our house, have a baby, and that is considered a citizen of the United States. It's incredible.
Congressman, so let's talk about fixes here. What can Congress do to intervene right now?
Well, we can pass a law that very specifically ends this. And that's what Brian Babin's law does, his bill does. Now, getting it through the Democrat Senate will be a tremendous burden. But this is one of the many critical things to the future of our nation that we now have hanging over us. But all they did was overturn the executive order that President Trump put out. But in effect, it says that birthright citizenship is the law of the land. And that's now our responsibility in Congress to overturn this, because I know that the Supreme Court and other rogue judges try to legislate from the bench. So Congress needs to make this plain, absolutely plain, that it is that the law of the land precludes birthright tourism.
I mean, Congressman, I think Justice Sam Alito was really concerned and wrote some pretty heated language in his dissent here. He said that the ruling is a serious mistake. it will seriously affect the country's future. And he warned that you can have someone born here and someone who is, you know, turns out to be rather nefarious, and they could use this ruling to plot to harm the country, and they would still not be deprived of their status as a citizen. I mean, it's just really shocking.
Well, he's exactly right, because this means that you are born a citizen. Now, we have laws that we can deport naturalized citizens. We can denaturalize them and deport them. But this means that you are born a citizen. That is almost impossible, because once you're a citizen, you are a citizen. You have to deal with them under the rule of law, criminal proceedings. But you can't deport. So he is exactly right. This is not naturalized. This is a born citizen.
Congressman Keith Self joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. The breaking news of the day: the Supreme Court making birthright citizenship the law of the land. You know, Congressman, what do you tell these hardworking American citizens who are basically being, I mean, I hate to use the term enslaved, but they're having to go to work, they're being taxed out the wazoo, and their tax money is being used to take care of, in many cases, the children of these illegal aliens now that they are going to be American citizens?
Yeah, absolutely, because a large part of these communities are on welfare, on the government dole. So you're exactly right. Look, the Trump administration has done a lot of things, but then a rogue judge struck down the SNAP provision that said we were going to take sugary drinks out of it in certain states. So the judges have a lot to answer for these days at every level. And every time the Supreme Court makes a ruling like this that is obviously not consistent with the Constitution and the laws of the United States, they just embolden the rogue judges down the line. So this is dramatically bad, monumentally bad. I will tell you that the hardworking citizens of America need to elect people to Congress and the Senate who will uphold the U.S. Constitution as their oath says. It's really the only way we're going to change the dynamics in the Senate for sure, and in the House of Representatives.
Well, we're glad that you and members of the House Freedom Caucus are just taking a solid stand here. And as I know, House Freedom Caucus earlier today said the 14th Amendment was never meant to reward illegal aliens for breaking our laws. And that's exactly what this does. I'm reminded, Congressman, of something Dwight D. Eisenhower said. He was asked about his biggest mistakes during his presidency. He said there were two, and they were both sitting on the Supreme Court at the time, Earl Warren and William Brennan. And you have to wonder now if President Trump is going to be in that same situation now with Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah, you have to wonder. You know, that just proves you do not know how people are actually going to vote until they get a position that they have been trying for all their life. It's their final position on the Supreme Court. You cannot know. Clarence Thomas is a national treasure. We have known what he would be, personally, what he would be on the bench since he was put on the bench. Other people, not so sure. It's, so, you know, this shows you how critical it is to get into the mind of the people that the president nominates, particularly to the Supreme Court.
All right. Well, Congressman, we really appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man today. But certainly a very disturbing ruling coming out of the Supreme Court on birthright citizenship. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The congressman believes that this is something that Congress could take care of. The question is, will it get through the U.S. Senate? And time and time again, we have seen, I mean, you talk about John Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett. We've got a Senate full of them right now, where Republicans simply are blocking the president's agenda. But right away, I want to find out who exactly was giving the president guidance on who to put on the Supreme Court. Those people need to be run right out of Washington, D.C. That's what needs to happen here. Just absolutely insane. All right, we're going to be taking your calls, your reaction here to the news that the Supreme Court making birthright citizenship the law of the land. What concerns you? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
morning, Todd. Today's Supreme Court decision, we need to keep in mind, they didn't change anything. It's just business as usual is what they're saying. But what we do learn from this, though, is that our laws need to be reviewed. Are they so ambiguous that we cannot get 9 mature, adult, educated legal people to come to the same conclusion? Our law should be written in a way that anyone can read it and understand what it means.
All right, that is David from Washington State sending us a shout-out on our Todd Stern Show app. And by the way, if you haven't downloaded the app, you ought to consider doing that. Just go to toddsterns.com and click on the – we got a button at the top of the page, and you can download the app. If you don't have time to call in, you can just shoot us a quick message, and we'll play it on the air just like we did David's there. Again, toddsterns.com, and you can download the app. So we're getting a lot of reaction to this in real time. Fox News contributor Hugh Hewitt, who's really a rhino, a Republican in name only, he's applauding the Supreme Court ruling here against President Trump. He said the Chief Justice hit it out of the park. He said, we finally have a decision that lays to rest this endless debate that text, history, and traditional, in fact, affirm if you're born in the United States, you're a citizen. Again, it's a 6-3 decision. Robert said the 14th Amendment means anyone born on American soil is an American citizen. The president argued the amendment only applied to the kids of freed slaves and is outdated for 2026. By the way, Clarence Thomas wrote, I think, a 97-page dissent. And Clarence Thomas was ripping the court a new one on this, and he agrees with the president on this. So Thomas says, and I want to read this to you, some took advantage of the executive branch's recent policy of granting citizenship to anyone born on American soil. The policy encouraged birth tourism, the practice of traveling here with temporary authorization solely to give birth and obtain citizenship for one's children, then returning to raise them in another country. Today, birth tourism companies reportedly collect large fees from wealthy foreigners to facilitate their trips to give birth to the U.S. By the way, and you would think that most of these folks are coming from Central America, Mexico, or Mexico, as the case may be, and they are. Are you ready for this? Nearly 7% of the total U.S. births in 2023, 7% of the babies birthed in America are from illegals. They're coming. Do you understand how, and look, we don't have the numbers on how many are on welfare. I would be willing to say upwards of 90%. So according to the numbers, this is our good buddy John Solomon over at Just the News, 68% of the 7% come from Mexico and Central America. Now, there's another component to all of this, and that would be China. And Chinese officials have estimated around 50,000 Chinese nationals per year give birth in the U.S. or territories like Saipan. Other scholars say that number could be closer to 100,000. That's why this is such a dangerous situation. Now, the Center for Immigration Studies says total U.S. birth tourism, U.S. birth tourism births range from 20,000 to 36,000 every year. You know, what we got to start doing, I guess, is giving pregnancy tests at the border. Maybe that's what we ought to be doing. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Here is Shannon Bream giving us an update over at Fox News. Cut number 11, please.
All right, this comes from Justice Alito, who brought this up during the arguments. This is his separate dissent. He says the court's interpretation also has national security implications. Suppose that a person's only connection to this country is that he was born here to a mother who was present just long enough to give birth and then quickly return to her native country. Suppose that country is a strategic adversary or enemy of the United States. Suppose the child never visited the United States while growing up and was inculcated with hatred of this country. According to this court, now that person is a citizen of the United States. He can enter and leave the country as he pleases. He can travel the world on a United States passport. Even if he plots to harm this country, he cannot be deprived of his status as a citizen, at least under current precedent. He goes on to say that this decision today also provides a powerful incentive to enter or remain in this country illegally. He goes on to say, in my judgment, the court has made a mistake that will seriously affect the country's future. So some very pointed dissents here from those who raised these very big concerns during the arguments, and they're real world scenarios, which are not a fantasy. They're not a movie. I mean, these things that can actually happen now under this ruling that you have today from the majority.
All right. So Clarence Thomas, we don't hear a lot from him, but he's really fired up over this and wrote an incredibly lengthy dissent. Here's more from Fox News, Cut 12.
From Justice Thomas, who was a dissenter here. Shannon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in his dissent, he gets to that point, Bill, that you're making there. The 14th Amendment was enacted in the wake of the Civil War, quote, with the one pervading purpose of securing equal citizenship for the freed slaves. He writes, it was enacted, as Justice Harlan wrote, mm-hmm. to secure to a race recently emancipated the civil rights that other citizens enjoyed. So Thomas has always been about that was the purpose of the 14th Amendment. He goes on to say that the court, meaning the majority now, has repurposed the 14th Amendment to protect its own set of preferred rights that the Reconstruction Congress never contemplated and that cannot find support in the text. Today, the court does so by recognizing a constitutional right to citizenship for the children of all foreign birth tourists and illegal aliens. He uses very specific language there. Again, Justice Thomas adhering and agreeing with the government's argument, which they made here very passionately, that the 14th Amendment was about protecting the children of freed slaves and not what we've come to understand it as. As you see his language there, he mentions birth tourism. It came up in the arguments, and clearly that's a very big concern of the dissenters. We also have dissents by Justice Alito and others, so we'll read those as well.
All right. Also, Senator Rand Paul reminding folks that he's filed an amendment to end birthright citizenship for those here illegally, says he's going to keep fighting to protect the integrity of American citizenship. So really, this is up to Congress now, whether or not we want to save the Republican. I really do hope that our Republican-controlled House and Senate are able to do something. Now, it was not all doom and gloom at the Supreme Court today, because we also have a ruling on the transgender issue regarding boys and girls sports, and I believe we actually have some audio from the court.
Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, so there you go. Good news there. We'll get into more of that with our good buddy Tony Perkins. Also coming up, we've got Wendy Patrick, who is one of our great legal minds here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Luke Ball will be joining us coming up after the break here. And a little bit later on, Josh Jones and Tony Perkins are going to be here. By the way, the Daughters of the American Revolution in turmoil right now. We're going to be talking to some of those folks a little bit later on in the show as well. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
In 2025, Americans lost more than $21 billion to fraud and identity theft. That's why so many people are turning to Aura. Aura helps protect your identity with fraud alerts, dark web monitoring, and up to $5 million in identity theft protection. And if you become a victim, Aura's 24/7 U.S.-based support team is there to help. Don't wait until your identity is stolen. Start your free trial today at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Breaking News Tuesday here on the program. By the way, want to remind you, pre-order a copy of my brand new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, and it's 350 pages, my longest book. We do a deep dive into the great successes of the Trump administration and also taking a look at the future of the America First movement. What does that mean for Generation Z? Well, we talk about all of those issues in the book, included exclusive interviews with the President of the United States. We have great endorsements from House Speaker Mike Johnson, Senator Marsha Blackburn, our good buddy Jim Jordan. So I want you to go right now and wherever you get your books and pre-order a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. It will be in bookstores on August the 11th, but we want you to pre-order a copy right now. All right, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker lines and welcome in our great political panel, Wendy Patrick, a Newsmax columnist, and Luke Ball from Compass Strategies. Guys, good to see you and hear you on the radio today. And Wendy, I want to start with you. Of course, we had you on yesterday talking about the Supreme Court rulings. Wanted to bring you back today. What surprises you, any surprises, when it comes to the birthright citizenship ruling?
No surprises in terms of the ruling, the holding, the result. But I was a little bit surprised at the split, the 5-4 split, not just in terms of who was in the 5 and who was in the 4, but all the concurring and dissenting opinions. It was one of those cases where everyone just seemed to want to weigh in as much as they possibly could, which tells me that this is a decision that is ripe for reconsideration at some point in the future. You know, occasionally we have 9-0 decisions. I know our listeners are probably shocked at that, but there was actually a lot of them this term. This one, many people expected to be 6-3 or even 7-2. But the fact that it was 5-4 and there were so many different pieces to this really makes it interesting to read, especially the dissenting opinions, especially the dissent by Clarence Thomas. Now, that was not unexpected. Everybody expected that. But some of the things he said, some of the scenarios he queued up as made possible by the majority's opinion, those are worth a read.
Luke, I want to share this bit of breaking news. The president, we've been waiting for the president to weigh in on this, and he just did on Truth Social. Folks, we've got the statement up on our website, toddstearns.com. He's basically calling on Congress to jump in, get involved. He says they've got to fix it. We don't need a long, unwieldy constitutional amendment, which I think Senator Eric Schmidt from Missouri is wanting. He says Congress should start today to work on ending expensive and unfair to our country birthright citizenship. What say you?
So that's really interesting because it was the first impression that I had that Congress had to step up and try to create a fix for this, because just because we got a defeat today at the Supreme Court doesn't mean that they can just run roughshod over us, that the left has gotten their way, that from now till kingdom come, they can just use birthright citizenship as a loophole. It means that we have to legislate around the decision. We have to institute guardrails and guidelines to fix the broken immigration system, because this is being abused. The birthright tourism that's happening here in the United States is just rampant. We've seen the consequences of that. And it's like if you have a dike that has 5 different holes and you plug 4 of them, you've still got 1 hole, and the water's just going to keep coming through that, and it's going to be coming at a greater force. And that's kind of how I view the immigration issue. The Trump administration has come in and plugged up so many of the holes. But if the drug cartels are sitting over there realizing, oh, we're not making as much money as we were under the Biden administration from charging all these poor illegal immigrants money and holding them ransom once they come into the United States the way that we were doing it, how are we going to take advantage of it? And I guarantee you there's probably some celebrating going on in the cartels right now as a result of this SCOTUS decision, and that's why it's time for Congress to step up and do their job and plug these holes.
You know, Wendy, I can't help but think this really has to devastate the Democrats, because this blows a giant hole in their argument that the Supreme Court is beholden to President Trump, and that's why they've got to pack the court. This should be a great day of celebration for the Dems.
I love that angle, Todd, because what we've seen in the last several days has been exactly that. Is it's not just this constant rubber stamp 6-3 ideological split, conservative majority. Look, you had one of the opinions authored by Amy Coney Barrett today. We have seen in the last 2 weeks since these opinions have been coming down, they don't always go the president's way. I mean, the tariffs opinion, that certainly didn't go his way. One of the two you're fired opinions yesterday didn't go his way, the one with the Federal Reserve governor. I mean, these are some of the examples, as you mentioned, that the president got what he wanted. You know, he has a court that does have their ideological beliefs. Sure, that's why he appointed the third of the court that he did, but that they don't always vote down those party lines. They vote their consciences. And to say that, well, gosh, you know, we've got to pack the court now, who knows what you'd get then, except that there'd be, instead of six different opinions or nine different opinions, you might have 20. I mean, it just is more evidence, as you point out, that the Supreme Court functions just fine as it is.
Luke Ball and Wendy Patrick joining us today on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here on the show. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926, if you'd like to weigh in, that's 901-260-5926. Luke, of course, another big ruling that came down regarding men and women's sports, and it is certainly a great day for the ladies of America. I don't think there was much of a surprise in this particular ruling. What say you?
Normally, I have to preference all of my legal opinions with I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV. I also don't play one on the radio. But I didn't need a legal degree or a law degree to be able to look at this case and say that men should be men and women should be women and the United States should treat them as such. And unfortunately, it had to go all the way up to the Supreme Court for them to remind them of basic fundamental biology. But this is an enormous win for young girls who have been forced to compete with male athletes that, frankly, have a mental illness and have forced themselves in uncomfortable, compromising situation for these young girls in locker rooms and on the sports fields and in the gymnasiums. And now it is incumbent upon the individual states, in my opinion, to make sure that their laws are up to shape to make sure that we actually continue to protect these young girls, to make sure that we do recognize the distinct God-given differences in our biology. And once we do that, not only are we going to have fair competition in sports, we're going to have less sexual abuse in our schools and just more common sense.
Wendy, I'm curious from a legal standpoint, because right now we've got, you know, the executive orders. Nobody's paying attention to those. The schools, they're just doing whatever they want to do. Now that the Supreme Court has stepped in, what sort of laws are we going to see and how do we enforce those laws?
Well, it's a great question, Todd, because that's exactly right. The Supreme Court didn't mandate states to pass laws restricting men from participating in women's sports. The fact that half of the country already has done so, those laws will obviously be upheld. The Supreme Court said, you know, they're constitutional, they're legal, etc. But the question now is, what will the other half of states do? Will they go ahead and pass their own laws, making women's sports, not biological men who identify as women? Or will you have states that pass laws the other way? And if that's true, will those laws be struck down? And that would be the source of confusion. As you can imagine, you know, an athlete grows up in a high school that is in a state that is protected by those laws. And you know, those types of laws are substantially related to the reason that we want an even playing field. I mean, there are competitive advantage, physical danger, all the right reasons. But what if that young athlete then goes to college in a state where you don't have legal protections of men not competing in women's sports? That would obviate the entire need that the Supreme Court just reiterated that these laws serve that purpose. So I would anticipate more states passing laws in direct response to what the Supreme Court ruled. Let's just hope those laws go the right way.
Luke, again, when you look at things politically, and we have to, and that's why you're here on the panel. How does this play on the campaign trail as we move towards the midterm elections? Because this actually was a major issue for voters in the presidential race, and I think that surprised a lot of folks. And it's really an 80-20. I suspect it's really a 90-10 issue, even among Democrat voters.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. It is an overwhelming win for the American people. And I actually think that you might see it translate on the campaign trail by having people who normally don't get involved in politics or even go out and vote, low propensity voters who have seen this issue crop up in their local school districts or even just in states, because individual state media, something like, I'm from North Carolina, if something happens in Charlotte, we're hearing about it in Wilmington, it comes up and it just kind of reverberates around the state. You've seen individual states continue continue to have these issues. And the reason it's a news story over and over again is because the various states do have different laws related to it. And that's why this particular Supreme Court decision was so consequential. And so if people are looking at that, I've even spoken to voters before who say, I'm not political, I don't pay attention to politics, but this particular issue came up in my school district. I live in Loudoun County right now. It comes up all the time. It's just a hotbed of politics up here in the DMV. So as you start to reach into common sense issues and violate them as the left has done, you start to activate individuals who normally have not been involved in politics to go out to the polls. And I would submit that it's probably a second silent majority that might surprise people in the midterms.
Wendy, before we let you guys go, Wendy, there is a story down in your neck of the woods, and we covered it over on ToddStearns.com and covered a little bit on yesterday's show. This is in San Diego County, where you have a group of residents. They've been flying the American flag for 20, 30 years, million-dollar homes in this community, and they've been threatened by the Homeowners Association, telling them they could face $100 fines if they don't take down Old Glory. What's going on here? Do these homeowners, do they have a case here?
Well, I can't play an armchair lawyer without the facts in front of me, although it's tempting as can be. So I'll answer generically the way I do every time I hear about one of these stories. Show me the words. You know, words matter. Show me the law that was violated, the policy that was violated. You know, I'll liken it to the scandal last weekend of defacing a ball cap by putting a scripture passage on it. Is you have to know a little bit more about, well, what did the rules say that barred any particular sort of freedom of expression? Sort of like you can't hang anything you want from your rearview mirror because you won't be able to see behind you. I would want to know the rationale behind this, but you can bet it's a very interesting question that no doubt lawyers right in that jurisdiction are looking up as we speak.
No doubt about that. All right, Wendy Patrick with the great non-answer answer legalese speaking. Wendy, always good to see you. Luke, great to see you on the radio. We always normally have you guys on the Newsmax show, so it's kind of nice for us to hang out on the radio together, guys.
I have a face for radio, so thanks for having me.
Hey now. You guys are beautiful people, both of you. Wendy Patrick and Luke Ball joining us here on the show today. All right, we've got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. We are going right to your phone calls, getting your reaction to the Supreme Court. What do you want Congress to do? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Some are fancy on the outside. Some are fancy on the inside. Yes, sir. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy. And so is mine. Boys are boys from the beginning. If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. Girls are girls right from the start. If you were born a girl, you stay a girl and grow up to be a lady. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy. And so is mine. Only girls can be the mommies. Only boys can be the daddies. Yes, sir.
Sing it, Mr. Rogers.
Fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy. And so is mine.
All right. There you go there. That's Mr. Rogers. You know, back in the day. Dylan, did you watch Mr. Rogers? Were you in that generation?
So based off the video, I can confidently say I wasn't.
Oh,
but
was
I wish
not.
That I was.
Yeah, that was it was a great time to grow up. You had Mr. Rogers and you had Captain Kangaroo. He was a little weird. Mr. Green Jeans.
Was there a song that mentioned Captain Kangaroo in it by the Statler Brothers? Statler Brothers?
Maybe.
I think that's the only reference I know to Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, really?
I think.
He was a grown man with a bowl cut.
Oh.
Nice. And and would wear polyester. You should Google Mr. Rogers, Captain Kangaroo. But there was Captain Kangaroo, and then we had Romper Room. I'm sure there were some other children's shows. I was not a big fan of Sesame Street back in the day. But are you watching?
This is a great haircut. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think he inspired. I think every boy, every little boy had the Mr. had the Captain Kangaroo haircut.
That's a tough time to get a date right there, probably.
Yeah. Definitely. But you had all, was that the one with, I'm trying to think which one had the moose. There was Captain Kangaroo. I think that was the Kangaroo Show had the moose. It was all very confusing. But anyway, Captain Kangaroo, and he had the mustache. You know who he kind of looks like? Just think about this for a minute. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Does he not look like Hulk Hogan?
Kind of looks like he could be his dad.
Yeah, exactly. Papa Hogan. Oh, wow. Nipsey Russell was on. I didn't realize that. Nipsey Russell back in the day, he was quite the comedian. But yeah, so that show ran for 29 years from 1955 to 1984, and it was the longest running children's program on commercial television. And then you've got, Sesame Street. But it was a lot of fun back in the day. I'm trying to think, you know, a lot of local TV shows had their local TV stations had their own kiddie shows. Anyway, they had Captain Kangaroo, which is, I think one of them had a moose. Was it Bull Rocky and Bullwinkle? Bullwinkle and Rocky. That was it. But there was somebody, there was one of the shows had a Mr. Bunny Rabbit and Mr. Moose. Bill Cosby was also a guest on. I had no idea. So a lot of famous people back in the day came through Captain Kangaroo Land.
Oh, that is Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, it was.
Those characters came from, they're the puppet characters apparently from Captain Kangaroo.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But Mr. Rogers, leave it to Mr. Rogers to speak truth to culture. You know what's interesting about Mr. Rogers was an ordained minister. And he just had this way. You know, a lot of people didn't like Mr. Rogers. I thought he was fine. It's a guy wearing a sweater, you know, and he played with puppets. There's nothing weird about that. Well, now that you say it out loud, it's a little weird. But he was a lovely man. And his wife, just a lovely, I mean, they were just a lovely family. And he had a way with kids, and kids loved Mr. Rogers. They just loved the, are you okay there, Dylan?
I'm good.
All right, good.
Just the way you're talking about him.
No, I know it sounds weird, but he was a good guy.
Seems like he was.
He was a very.
Just a man in a sweater with his puppets.
Taking his loafers off and putting on tennis shoes. Wow. Now that you mention it, that sounds so terrible. Wasn't it? The movie came out, the Won't You Be My Neighbor with Tom Hanks. You know, that he made it kind of weird, but I like Mr. Rogers. I think he was actually a conservative. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. Anyway, we've got to scoot out of here. 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. We've got more of the Tom Stearns Radio Show on the way.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't realize this, Dylan, but it turns out Mr. Rogers was bullied when he was a kid, which is why he grew up to be so nice and kind. And they called him, apparently he was, you know, he was little teeny tiny little fellow on TV, a skinny little fellow. But back when he was a kid growing up, he was a porker, and they called him Fat Freddy.
Oh, no.
That's terrible.
Did not know that.
Oh, that's just awful. So,
I'm glad he turned out to be nice.
Well, he had a lonely childhood, which is why I guess he had a compassion for, you know, for the youngsters. And, you know, then was an ordained Presbyterian. I told you he was a Presbyterian minister. And instead of pastoring a church, he ministered to kids and their families through TV. So there you go. Real quick, before we go to our next guest, I want to go to the phone lines. Esther is listening to us in Youngstown, Ohio today. Esther, hope you're doing well.
I am. How are you?
I'm well, and I understand you have a Captain Kangaroo story.
Well, actually, I grew up with, watching Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Rogers, and my children, they did watch Sesame Street a lot. My story, because you mentioned that there were local TV stations that there had their own places, and, you know, and I happened to be on, it was called Susie's Side Saddle Show.
Susie's Side Saddle Show. I am intrigued.
Yes, it was Susie's Side Saddle, and she was dressed up like a cowgirl, you know, a Western theme. And I went on there when I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old, and my mom dressed me, you know, in the cowgirl outfit with the hat and everything, and I had long braids, and it was really fun. And I remember she would ask, you know, the little children there, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said I would like to be a nurse, which I went on to be. I'm now retired. I was a licensed practical nurse.
Oh, wow. Yes. Well, good.
And I believe that I always said, like when I'm on Facebook and they talk about the good old days, I say I would love to have a time machine to put our grandchildren in and take them back to when we grew up.
Yeah.
You know, we were outside from morning till night, and we played the games, you know, Mother May I, and, you know, all of that. And it was just so different.
You're right, Esther. It really was different. And I remember, I was very fortunate to grow up in the 70s and 80s. And you're right, it was a very different time. And even our TV shows, I remember as a high school kid, we used to have like these talent shows on the local TV. And it was like all the rage to try to get on the dance shows or the, you know, or the talent shows. And you were like little celebrities, like you were on, what is it, Side Saddle Susie?
Susie Side Saddle.
All right. Wow, that is cool.
I was on there, and wow. I grew up like in mostly the 50s and 60s.
Okay.
I'm a hippie. Yeah. And it was the best time because we had the best music ever.
Oh, yeah.
Know?
That's
and
it.
The best music ever. And I always tell my grandkids, which I'm on my way there to see them, I wish I had a time machine to take you guys back. Mm.
Well, Esther, God bless you, and you be safe out there driving to visit your grandkids, and thanks for the little walk down memory lane there. Susie Side Saddle. There you go. I guess she rides a side. Is that like you're riding sideways in the saddle, Dylan?
My brain hurts trying to think about
okay.
that.
Okay. I'm sure there's a legitimate reason. All right. By the way, welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. You know, we've got the big birthday celebration coming up on Saturday, 250. And we were talking, it was interesting, we were having a conversation about Thomas Jefferson yesterday, and that reminded me of our good friend, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, the executive director of Providence Forum, and he's got a book out about Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson and the God who gave us liberty. Dr. Newcomb, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
Well, first, congratulations on the new book. You know, and the reason I had brought up Thomas Jefferson, there's been a lot of hullabaloo out of Texas over the fact they're going to be teaching the Bible again in public schools. And I pointed out that Thomas Jefferson, when he was president of the school board there in Washington, D.C., they actually used the Bible to teach boys and girls how to read. So it's really not that they're doing something new in Texas. They're just embracing what had been part of our tradition dating back before the actual founding of the country.
That's exactly right. And in addition to the Bible, in those schools in D.C., they had Watts hymnals, as in Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts wrote Joy to the World. He wrote When I Survey the Wondrous Cross and so forth. Thomas Jefferson was a professing Christian. Later in life, some of his views, went south as far as some of the deep parts of theology and so forth. But when he was of great value to the country, when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, when he wrote the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom, he was a practicing Anglican Christian, professing Anglican Christian. And in fact, in 1777, so a year after he wrote the Declaration of Independence, the first draft of it, he actually, as a co-leader, or as a layman rather, he co-founded an evangelical church in Charlottesville, because the other church, you know, was gone. And so they called an evangelical minister. And in fact, in our book, Thomas Jefferson and the God Who Gave Us Liberty, we actually have two sermons from the Reverend Charles Clay, the minister that they called, who was an evangelical, and he was also ordained in the Anglican tradition. Jefferson he wrote the subscription for that church and so forth. So
I think a lot of people are surprised by what you're saying, because, you know, we've always been led to believe that maybe he was certainly friendly to people of faith, but he wasn't necessarily a Christian. Many people thought he was a secularist. And so your book really answers that question.
Yeah, he was Christian in the tradition in the early years. Later, he would become more of a Unitarian. So in other words, he doubted the Trinity, and that came later. So he would not be in the Athanasius school, you know, as far as the Holy Trinity. But he absolutely believed that, you know, God, the creator, the one that we find in the Bible, is the one who's given us our rights. Four times they mentioned God in the Declaration of Independence. And most importantly, that God is the source of our rights.
Maybe you can help me answer this question. It really perplexes me that people spend so much time trying to disprove the role that Christianity played in the founding of our nation and in the lives of our founding fathers. I mean, for example, you know, on the school situation, you had people like Dr. Benjamin Rush, the great physician and signer of the Declaration. He actually wrote an essay in defense of why you need to use the Bible in schools. Noah Webster, the same thing. And you go down the list here, and yeah, they may not be Billy Graham evangelist or Adrian Rogers, you know, kinds of preachers, but these were men of deep faith in God.
Absolutely. And Jefferson, in those early years, when he was of most value to the country, he was of that persuasion. And in fact, he said the God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? So this is really critical. This very point that the founders, including Jefferson, including Ben Franklin, they recognize that God is the source of our liberties. And if you take that away and basically say, well, it's the state that bestows us our liberties, then you get away from the America's founding, and you get away from the securing of our rights. I mean, even John F. Kennedy, when he was inaugurated in 1961, he said, you know, the rights of man, our forebears recognized that the rights of man come not from the generous hand of the state, but rather from God. And that is the essence of America. If I can give you one more quote, Eisenhower said that, without God, there could be no American form of government, nor an American way of life. Recognition of the supreme being is the first and most basic expression of Americanism. Thus, the founding fathers saw it, and thus, with God's help, it will continue to be. He said that in 1955. And I think that's interesting, because within a few years, the Supreme Court said, oh, no, you can't have school prayer. And then a few years after that, they said, oh, no, you can't post the Ten Commandments in the schools. And oh, no, you can't have the Bible as devotional in a devotional setting before the class or, you know, in school. And eventually then the liberal administrators and teachers said, oh, you can't have the Bible at all. So now you're at a point where the Bible is treated, as one ADF attorney put it, like asbestos in the public schools. It was the Bible that gave birth to the education for the masses in the American schools. And that can be totally proven, you know, by our history. You know, like, for example, the, you know, you look at the first right. law for education for the masses was the old Deluder Satan Act, you know, in Boston. The Puritans said it being one of the chief ends of that old Deluder Satan to keep men from the word of God. It ain't going to be that way in here in Boston. We're going to set up schools so the children can learn to read and write. Why? So they could read the Bible.
All right. Dr. Jerry Newcomb is the executive director of Providence Forum and has a new book out, a deep dive into Thomas Jefferson. The name of the book, Thomas Jefferson and the God Who Gave Us Liberty. There is one question. Our time is rapidly expiring here. But Dr. Newcomb, I'm very curious about the idea of separation of church and state, because whenever somebody brings that up, they're like, Thomas Jefferson, separation of church and state. Do you address that in the book?
Oh, totally. Yes. The phrase separation of church and state as applied to our First Amendment came from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptists. And the gist of what he's saying is that we have freedom of conscience in America. You're not going to be forced to believe something that you don't believe in. There is a separation of the institution of the church from the institution of the state, but that did not mean there was a separation of God and state. He talked about God freely in his inaugural address as president. He was sworn in on the Holy Bible. They all were. And if you had the strict separation of God and government, then God has no place in the state. And at providenceforum.org, we have all kinds of resources showing what our true history is. It was so saturated in the Bible that without the Bible, we would not have the United States of America and all of its freedoms and all of the great things that have happened. We have been so blessed in this country, but it gets back to God. It gets back to the Bible. When you remove those things, as they're starting to do, you know, more and more, they're trying to do it more and more. You remove the basis for our liberties. No God, no rights.
All right.
It's that simple.
Well, Dr. Newcomb, we're going to have to leave it there, but congratulations on the new book. And folks, I'd encourage you to go to the website, providenceforum.org. That's providenceforum.org. Dr. Jerry Newcomb, the brand new book, Thomas Jefferson and the God Who Gave Us Liberty. Dr. Newcomb, congratulations on another great book.
Well, thank you, and thanks to Mark Belisles, who co-wrote this book with me.
All right, good stuff. Mark will give you a shout-out as well. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Jerry Newcomb, get his new book, Thomas Jefferson and the God Who Gave Us Liberty. All right, we've got to take a break. Before we go to break, though, I'm throwing out we're calling an audible here, Dylan, and I want to throw out a trivia question, and this is a very good trivia question. This particular children's TV show, it is a local TV show, and I'll give you a clue. Memphis, Tennessee. It aired in Memphis, Tennessee, a local children's show, and it holds the Guinness World Record for the longest continuously running TV series in the world, right here in Memphis. Can you name that TV magic show? Our telephone number at 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I have to tell you, this segment brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. A new study finding 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve. But Newsmax has talked to a Social Security expert who has five key strategies to increase your benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. It's all in the special report, and you can receive it free of charge. All you need to do is give them a call, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. We're going to send it to you right away. Whether you are getting benefits or you soon will, you need this Social Security report. 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phone line. Say hello to James, listening to us in Memphis, Tennessee, on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, James. How are you today?
Hey, Todd. How are you doing yourself?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for asking. All right, we're gonna try your hand at trivia here, and I think this is a great trivia question. It turns out that the Guinness World Record for hosting the longest running TV magic show in the world is actually right here in Memphis, Tennessee, on one of the local TV stations. Can you tell us the name of the show?
Well, actually, I knew it before you even said a magic show, because I'd read it many years ago, but it's Magic Land with Dick Williams, and it was on Channel 5. But I actually knew it before you even said a magic show.
Wow. All right. Well, let's go to the tape here to see if you're correct.
Welcome to Magic Land, a land of fantasy, fun, magic, and cartoons, all in color. Now, here's your guide for today's swinging trip through Magic Land, Mr. Magic himself, Dick Williams.
I love the gong. Hey, congratulations, hi. James. Wow, you're the winner.
Well, I love it. What am I getting, a book?
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to get, but we'll figure something. We'll pull something out of the prize closet for you. But I find this is interesting. You know, he lived to be well into his 90s, and the lady who is his magician assistant was his wife.
Correct. But let me tell you a funny story. Many years ago, I want to say I was around like 10, I actually got on stage with him, and of all places, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm right, of all places he did a show was the old Greyhound bus station down on Union back in the day. And I got on stage, and he did some kind of magic. I said it was so. I'm 65, so it was a long time ago. But I think he had like a box that he was pulling like a handkerchief through it. It was changing colors or whatever. And I was on the backside of it, and the backside of it was like open. I could see what he was doing. And somehow or another, I think if I remember right, he like stuffed a handkerchief like a little side door, like a little trap door.
James, hang tight. You got to go. Sorry about that, my friend. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Dylan, I'm wondering, as we celebrate the 250th birthday of the country on Saturday, and I'm wondering what kind of big celebrations there are around the nation. I know President Trump's got a big one planned in Washington, D.C., but actually, and then he's headed to South Dakota for the opening, I think, of Teddy Roosevelt's big presidential library. So they have a big shindig out there.
Yeah. I always enjoy the hot dog eating contest. At Nathan's, yeah. That's probably one of my favorite and least favorite things.
It's, I had to cover that many years when I was at Fox. They would send me out there to Coney Island, and this was Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest. And they have, I'm not kidding you, 10, 15,000 people. That turned out for this thing. And it's literally like a macabre circus of like little midget people running around, the little people. Yeah. And they've got the burlesque dancers.
They have everything.
They do. And there's a giant, the last time I was there covering it, there was a giant hot dog, a giant wiener that had been elevated above the crowd, right? So they had...
what, do they worship this thing?
No, because they have one of the burlesque dancers, and she's like, an aerial artist, I guess. An aerialist is what they call them. Mm-hmm. And so she was wearing this little outfit, and she was dancing suggestively on the giant wiener.
My gosh.
In front of children.
Well...
At least everybody was wearing clothes, unlike Seattle.
That is a positive there.
Anyway, but there's a lot of stuff going on there. So all that to say, it's pretty fascinating to watch these guys, chow down all these hot dogs.
Now, I was wondering if the champion, Joey Chestnut, was going to be competing, and he is. So I needed to make sure.
That's exciting.
I don't think he did. Okay, he did do it last year, and he keeps going higher and higher. Like, you would think that he's slowing down, but no, he's the best shape of his life right now to eat a hot dog.
By the way, we should tell people Josh Jones was scheduled for this segment, and we got a text. He's like getting an X-ray. We're like, are you okay? He's going to be fine. It sounds like a pinched nerve.
This is good news. We're happy Josh Jones is okay.
I thought he got mugged or something.
Yeah.
He's in Washington, D.C. But anyway, thoughts and prayers for Josh Jones. But I am wondering, what are some things that you do? Are there 4th of July traditions that you and your family take part in? I know for us, it's a pretty traditional thing. We do burgers and dogs and go to the fireworks display. Also, there are a lot of people that are traveling around the country and getting in touch with America. And there was a survey done of the top roadside attractions in America. And I'm intrigued by this because I love this kind of stuff. If I'm driving, and Dylan, you'll get this. If you're not like this now, you will be. But if you become a dad, you will be like driving down the road and you'll be like, all right, kids, we got to pull off and we got to go check this out. Whether it's like an alligator farm or something like that.
Okay. So you're preparing me now. I'm thankful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you've got to, that's just something you got to do. Mm. For us back in the day, when you would do a road trip, and of course, we didn't take the interstates too terribly much back in the day. But even before the interstates, I think it was a whole lot more fun because you were driving the back roads and there were all sorts of crazy things that you could see or run into. For example, in Amarillo, Texas, they have the world famous Cadillac Ranch where they literally bury cars nose first in the dirt.
Oh.
And then visitors are able to take a tour. It's called the Cadillac Ranch. There's also a little place in South Dakota, Wall, South Dakota. It's the Wall Drugstore. And it was originally a tiny pharmacy, and now it's like this massive roadside emporium, and they offer free ice water.
I've been to this place.
Have you really?
Wall Drug. I got a t-shirt.
Get out.
Yeah. When we went to, I went with my in-laws, and we went throughout all the national parks and stuff, and we made a stop by Wall Drug.
It was so cool.
We ate there. We bought a bunch of different random things. It is like the coolest place that you could stop by.
Did you try the free ice water?
I did try the free ice water.
Mm. Is it worth the price?
Pretty delicious.
All right. Well, that's good. There's something called Carhenge, which is basically a full-scale replica of Stonehenge, but it's built entirely out of vintage automobiles. That sounds like a uniquely American thing.
Very much so, yeah.
Oh, I've been here. Harry Hurley told me about this. Lucy the elephant. It's a giant six-story elephant. And it's, in New Jersey. It's in Margate, New Jersey on the Jersey Shore. And you go and, I don't know, can you walk inside? I don't know if you can still walk inside it, but it's a big giant pink elephant.
Wow.
Somewhere I've got a picture of me with Lucy the elephant. Also, this is in Cawker City, Kansas. I wonder if Dalton Glasscock knows where that is. Helen, I want you to text Dalton and ask if he has ever seen, I want you to text him, say, Todd Starnes, we're live on the air. We need to know if you've ever seen the world's largest ball of twine.
Which she's confirming. She's going to do that.
Apparently, it's like the only thing there. And it's in Cawker City, Kansas.
I'm stuck up on this elephant, Todd. I can't stop looking at it.
So you pulled up the
90-ton elephant-shaped building in Margate City.
It's giant.
1881 is when it was built.
Mm.
That's crazy. This thing has windows. I think you can go inside this.
It's kind of like, I got to tell you, it's kind of cooler than the Statue of Liberty.
It's probably taller, too.
If you gave Lucy the elephant like a torch that she could hold with her, trunk.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the point of going to New York?
I just saw a picture of the backside. I don't know why someone took a picture from behind, but there is a window.
In the butt?
Wait, more specific.
Oh, of the elephant?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right behind the tail.
So you can look out the backside.
Yeah.
All right. Route 66. Somebody said that Route 66, which they call the Mother Road, it's over 2,000 miles of highway that'll take you all the way to Chicago to Santa Monica. And if you haven't driven, that is a great summer road trip, is Route 66. You got the neon signs, the old school vintage diners, and the motels. That's what it's all. Oh, by the way, the Cadillac Ranch is on Route 66. So anyway, I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any recommendations, are there some things that are unique to your communities, your neighborhoods, or maybe you've been on vacation and you've seen something that, it's not exactly Dollywood, but, it could be Silver Dollar City.
Dollywood, nothing beats Dollywood. Do we have an update on her gas station thing that she was trying to do?
Yeah, so Dolly Parton was opening up a gas like a truck stop, and you know the image of the lady on the flaps.
Yeah,
that's her.
Yep.
It's called Dolly's Tennessee and Travel Stop, and it's in Cornersville, Tennessee. That's exit 22 off I-65. And it's like an upscale Buc-ee's with boobs.
I knew that it was supposed to rival Buc-ee's. Yeah. I didn't know. I was wondering about the bathrooms.
Yeah, Buc-ee's with boobs. it's got trucker amenities, but you see, here's the thing. It's, you know, Buc-ee's doesn't let the truck drivers in. You know, it's only for civilian, but this has like a dedicated trucker's lounge, showers, plenty of fueling islands, and it's also got food and dining, something called Cup of Ambition Coffee Shop.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, they partner with Community Coffee.
Oh, brilliant.
They got a 24/7 barbecue spot and curated Southern dining. So there you go, Dolly's Tennessee and Travel Stop.
They also have live music stages. Wait, this is cool.
Yeah.
I would want to stop here just on I would go here for a vacation.
It's really nice. Is Dolly photoshopped in this? Wow, she's not wearing a lot.
It's an attraction.
You can also get, they got the dog park, a fully stocked general store, and trucker supplies.
Yeah, a dog park too.
Oh, there you go.
I think we have to make a stop. It's not too far away.
Hey, I'm all over that. Oh, and this restaurant looks great. And you're right. It's got a sound stage, so they do the concerts and the whole nine yards. And they call it Dolly Q. Tennessee barbecue served with homemade biscuits and all the sides. Mm. All right, let's see. Oh, they're actually doing something on they've got the 2026 Freedom Bash. Let's look at that here. We're in real time. This is really exciting. Trucker Appreciation Day, and some artist I've never heard of. Thomas Heath, ring a bell?
No.
No, same here. Allison Nichols?
No.
The Barrys?
Maybe.
Straw and Blue. I don't know what that means. They're sort of light on details, but here we go. Trucker Appreciation. Enjoy free beverages and giveaways in the Trucker's Lounge.
That is so nice. This is like an exclusive trucker stop.
Oh, they have Dolly-oki, which is her version of karaoke.
Yes.
Dolly-oki.
Okay, now we do have to go because that's like one of our team building activities.
You know what? Ian told us he couldn't play golf, but he's like he's like a rock star.
Hear him singing throughout the
office. You know he's going to be singing.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to be cutting
loose.
There's
a whole map too, Todd. Do you know this? Have you seen the map?
No.
It's very detailed. It's like this is like Dollywood's map, but it's for her truck stop. Wow. Very cool. Sectioned off like in the numbers, mm-hmm. So you know exactly where you are, like you are here.
All right. There you go. Dolly Parton, ladies and gentlemen. The Dolly Parton's Tennessee and Travel Stop off of I-65. So I suspect the truckers are going to be lined up. There's going to be like a traffic jam waiting to get off the interstate there. All right. We've got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. Any Americana road stops that we need to make, that you've been to, give us a call. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to get right back into the Supreme Court coverage. We've got Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, joining us. Also, Laura McDonald from the Daughters of the American Revolution. She is part of an organization called Daughters Advocating for Restoration. There is a huge controversy unfolding right now within the Daughters of American Revolution. They're literally accepting men who identify as women into the DAR, and it is causing a lot of controversy, a lot of blowback, and we're going to be getting to all of that with Laura McDonald coming up in the next hour, so you're going to want to stick around for that. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So, want to play this audio. This is from Senator Raphael Warnock, who is a preacher. And he's saying that the transgender agenda is not an offense to the glory of God. Take a listen to Cut 8, please.
We Christian folk have been blind to our bigotry, to the ways in which we are inhospitable to those who have another way to the center. And then Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Sikhs and others had to stand up and say, we too know something about the glory of God. We talked about equal protection under the law while marginalizing members of the LGBTQ community. But then they found their voice and said, we too know something about the glory of God. It takes all of us to see the glory of God. So we have to push hard against bigotry and racism, and anti-Semitism, and transphobia, xenophobia in all of its forms, because it is violence, not only against humanity, but against divinity. It is an offense to the glory of God.
Well, there you have it. Senator Raphael Warnock, who is also a pastor, a Baptist pastor in the Atlanta area, and he's framing the whole LGBT movement as being an example of the glory of God. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. Meanwhile, you've got the Portland Mennonite Church, and we played a little bit of this yesterday, but I want to play the whole thing so you can understand, hey, this is what's going on in some of these mainline churches. And the Mennonites are part of the mainline church. This happened in Portland. Let's take a listen to Cut 2.
This morning, we'll invite all of you who wish to come to receive a glitter blessing. And if some of you are like, oh my gosh, this is so queer, yup. This is a tradition that I learned from my queer Mennonite elders and early queer Mennonite theologians, John Linscheid and Ken White. This fairy dust or glitter dust is a combination of glitter, dried flowers, and dirt from significant places in their lives. This blessing is an invitation for you to join the ancestors before you who said, Hineni, here I am, boldly and proudly. And I think Blaine is going to give us some instructions for the morning.
Okay, hi again, everyone.
Hi.
So, we're going to do something similar to how we do communion. We are going to do five stations, right? There's plenty of us here. We'll get through it fast enough, I hope. We're going to do three up here in the front, and we're going to do two in the old chapel in the back with pairs of two. We'll form lines exiting, similar to how we do communion, pew by pew going back. We have, as I said earlier, an option between the glitter pixie dust and the oil anointing. So choose that when you get up front, and you will receive your blessing. I think, are we doing a hymn during it, too? Is that the plan, Ari?
Him and her.
Well, Gail's going to play.
Great. Perfect. Okay, we'll have accompaniment.
I have questions. I have lots of questions.
Good idea to go with the hymn. The oil
so
anointing.
They were saying in twos and threes, so is that like a throuple? Are they doing the throuples is what I'm concerned
about.
The
throuple, yeah, yeah.
And what is, so you get the gay fairy dust, the pixie dust, or you get, is it like baby oil? Is it kind of like P. Diddy, or what are they talking about here?
Do they believe that the gay fairy dust makes you gay, or is this because you're gay, so now you get the glitter?
I don't know, and that's what I'm wondering. It's like, does one bend over, and does the pixie dust bloweth out one's ass? I mean, how does that work?
Do you mean blessed assurance, Todd?
Pardon me, yes. I was using the King James Version.
Yes, yes, of course.
I'm just trying to figure it out. I've never heard of this before, a queer fairy dust. This is a new one for me. But this is what's happening in a lot of churches. By the way, you Methodists out there, here's how bad it is. The Methodist Church, for generations, they've been hiring their preacher boys from Asbury Seminary, which is a fine enough Methodist school. And now they've cut off relations because Asbury refuses to accept gay marriage. And they say that they're no longer going to be hiring preachers or preacherettes from Asbury. That's the Methodist people. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. The Mennonites there in Portland, Oregon, blowing their fairy dust out the wazoo. All right, hang tight. Hour three coming up.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Senses, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us today. A lot going on this hour of the program. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Well, a disturbing story involving the Daughters of the American Revolution, which is really a storied organization, been around for many, many generations, and they are in the throes of a controversy surrounding men who identify as women. And you would think of all the places that this would not be an issue. Well, it's an issue. As a matter of fact, a number of ladies within the group have formed another organization called Daughters Advocating for Restoration. Well, to help us understand what exactly is going on and how we can save the Daughters of the American Revolution, I want to bring in Laura McDonald with Daughters Advocating for Restoration. Laura, good to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Mr. Starnes. Thank you for having me. And first, let me say, I'm not a DAR spokesperson. I'm just a member of the DAR expressing my First Amendment rights. I just want to get that set up front.
Well, no, and I don't believe we made that assertion. So,
No, sir. But there's a lot of contention right now amongst members on things like that. So I'm saying that just for myself.
Right. Well, all right. Well, let's continue then. And I think you've made that perfectly clear. So what's going on here in the Daughters of the American Revolution? Take us back to the genesis of the controversy.
Well, first, let me tell you about the DAR. Most people know it's a lineage society founded for women by women in 1890, and it was the result of the Sons of the American Revolution. They had recently formed, and they would not allow women to join. So the Daughters were formed. And our bylaws were written in 1890, and the criteria to be a member is you must be a daughter with lineal descent of a patriot. There's two biological criteria to be a member of the DAR.
Go ahead.
Well, in late 2023, we found out that the DAR was quietly admitting men who had amended birth certificates, knowingly admitting men. You know, there's a difference between somebody getting in dishonestly, but when we found out that there was a policy decision to knowingly admit men with amended birth certificates, we took steps to try to shore up our bylaws to keep that from happening. And it's been a tremendous struggle. So since 2023, we have tried our best to have our voice heard and a vote on this. So we requested a special meeting to happen on October the 11th, 2026 of this year. That's not what happened on Friday. So instead of calling our special meeting according to our bylaws, they added the resolution that we wanted to vote on as an agenda item to the regular meeting at Continental Congress. So there's a lot of procedural things that happened there that we feel like we still need that special meeting on October the 11th to vote on this issue. And we can go into detail about that. There's a lot of parliamentary...
In a moment, we will get to that. But I do have questions to ask. First of all, I'm wondering... On the issue of transgenderism, I'm curious, has the leadership given any explanation at all why men should be allowed to join the DAR?
Well, what they tell us is that trans women are women. They tell us that trans women live and identify as women. They tell us that trans women are not men. That's part of the problem, is that initially we thought maybe they were taking defensive steps, thinking this was something we had to do for our tax status or something of that nature, which is, we can get into that too. That's one of the reasons that they told members we have to do this. But we were able to uncover an internal document circulated among state level officers and national officers that made the claim that trans women are not men. So the what they tell us is there are no men in the DAR. They tell us that these men are women because they believe trans women are women. So the justification is, in their minds, if a man presents an amended birth certificate that says female, who are we to question that document, is what they say.
I'm wondering about the reaction from leadership, because clearly people like yourself are speaking out, and there are many, many others who feel the same way you do. I know Molly Hemingway says that members in Texas have reached out to her, and it's her understanding that women who oppose transgenders in the DAR are being threatened, they're being chastised. Have you found that to be the case as well?
Yes, sir. I'm in Texas as well, and I want to be very careful not to get too much into that, because it has been incredibly adversarial. And the long and short of it is that we have procedures in our bylaws that allow us to have a voice, whether it's through proposing amendments to our bylaws or requesting special meetings. And throughout the last 3 years of trying to go about that process, members have been admonished, intimidated into silence, told us that we're violating policy by doing that. So, if we were to get into all the details of that, it would be very disturbing. I'm not ready to get into that, but there is a lot of merit to what Ms. Hemingway is saying.
Well, I'm curious. I mean, we're having this conversation, and I think people deserve to know the level of threat and hostility that's being directed at you ladies. I just think this is reprehensible.
I do too. So I would say that.
Give me one example.
What happens is, go ahead.
Just give me one example of how they're threatening you.
Well, members are told that we can't talk about this issue. They spin it in a way that they say it's a political issue and the DAR is not political. Well, I agree. It's not political. But telling members that trans women are women is political. Telling members of a women's lineage society founded in 1890 that a man is a woman is a political statement. But what happens is when members want to bring this up in their local chapters to talk about it, they are told that they cannot bring it up. If they have aspirations to move up to state or national officer positions, you can forget that won't happen. Members have been removed from DAR social media pages for having this belief that women are women and that the DAR should be one for women only.
It's just shocking to see and to hear that this is happening in the DAR. Now, there's some good news here, because I know you guys are pushing back, you're fighting back. Is there going to be an opportunity for the entire membership to vote on whether or not there should be transgender people in the DAR?
I believe there will. And I want to be clear with your audience what did and didn't happen on Friday. So our governing documents, our bylaws, I believe there's been two violations of those. One is that state and national officers have knowingly admitted men. That goes against our bylaws. And they have not called the special meeting that we have asked for. So our bylaws say that at the request of 30 chapters in 10 states, the president general shall call a special meeting. She has not called that special meeting. Okay. So it should be understood that a special meeting is separate than the regularly scheduled meeting, and that all members must be notified. So we are going to push forward with that special meeting because we want to focus solely on this issue. We believe that a lot of members were preoccupied with Congress activities and weren't really sure what the vote was about on Friday, among other things that we could get into about what happened during that meeting and the voting process.
Well, look, yeah, I wish we had time to do all of that here. I think, though, that for our audience, you know, it's important to understand, and I know that you guys may be hesitant about explaining some of the actual things that have been happening, but if if you've got the DAR leadership and they're threatening ladies, they're trying to silence you guys, I think people need to know specifically, you know, what they are up to, so the general public can be aware and can offer some sort of assistance here, because this is just really reprehensible. And this is the way they operate. You know, they want to bully people into silence. And when they do that, they ultimately win the fight. So I hope that you guys keep speaking out. And I certainly hope that that you guys are able to vote on this, because I suspect, and I'll give you the last word here, Laura, I suspect that a majority of the DAR would be opposed to having men in the membership.
Yes, sir. I absolutely agree with that. Despite what happened on Friday with the vote, since then, since members are actually now hearing about this, it's getting so much media attention. Our social media accounts and our fundraisers have exploded like crazy. Members are there's about 190,000 members of DAR, and I would say probably 80% of them, maybe even 90%, didn't even know about this, and now they're finding out about it because of what happened on Friday. So we believe when we get our vote in October that we will be able to adopt that resolution. But even if we don't, Mr. Starnes, our bylaws do not allow men. We cannot. We are in violation of our congressional charter if we knowingly admit men into the DAR.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Laura McDonald with Daughters Advocating for Restoration. They've got a website. I want you to go check it out, daughtersadvocatingrestoration.org. That's daughtersadvocatingrestoration.org, and you'll be able to find all the information about what's been happening at the Daughters of the American Revolution. All right, Laura, keep us updated, and best of luck to you as you guys fight the good fight.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, there you have it, everybody. Laura McDonald, Daughters Advocating for Restoration. Hard to believe, but they're coming after everybody. Let me just say something about this, because I see a lot of this in the culture. You can't hem and haw, ladies and gentlemen. You got to get right to the point, because they want to bully you into silence. You cannot let them you just can't let them do it, right? So you get out there and you say exactly what the threats are. You say, here's what they're trying to say. They threatened to kidnap my dog. Okay, well, we need to know that. I don't know if they did that, but I wouldn't put it past them. All I'm telling you is you've got to push back, and you've got to push back hard. These are very mean-spirited people. And also, understand this. It is a small group. These are radicals we're talking about, but they're counting on you being submissive to them, and you cannot do it with these alphabet activist terrorists. And that's what they are, alphabet activist terrorists. They want to silence you, and they want to destroy everything that is good and decent about America. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This story out of Memphis, Tennessee. A Memphis man, Courtney Richardson, age 36, has been arrested and charged after attempting to run over a federal agent. Well, this is an interesting story. This all happened in December. He was arrested. He was found guilty. Now sentenced to 34 months in prison for trying to hit a federal agent with his vehicle. This is all part of the Memphis State Task Force. You know, President Trump sending the National Guard and a lot of other folks to Memphis, Tennessee. I say good for him. I'm shocked it's only 3 years, but you know what? The great news here is the feds are bypassing our George Soros district attorney, a guy by the name of Steve Mulroy. And instead, they're filing federal charges against these people, and they're getting jail time. So maybe this guy will be able to spend the next 3 years understanding what happened and what he did wrong. Unbelievable that these people are doing this. But there you go. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. President Trump just sharing this on Truth Social. I would like to congratulate President Xi and the great country of China on their massive birthright citizenship win. And it's true. It's true. Ugly, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Oh, by the way, there was a guy who, here we go, Keene is his name, Congressman Tom Keene out of New Jersey. And he's been out of work for nearly 4 months. And Dylan, everybody was trying to figure out what the heck was wrong with this guy. Was it cancer? Did he have something? I mean, what was going on? Well, he came back to work today. The guy has missed. He has a 100% absence rate. 100%. He missed 140 roll call votes. The guy is my age, Dylan. And I just want to say something. I had a massive heart procedure. I was back in the saddle, a couple of days later?
This is true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. But again, I don't judge any. I mean, I'm really not judging. I'm just, for the sake of this conversation, it turns out that his medical condition, that it took him 4 months to recover, he was depressed.
Oh.
That's a diagnosis of depression.
4 months.
4 months.
Wow.
He said the illness, I'm just reading his words here, the illness took him months to heal from and left him under doctor's care during a prolonged stay in the hospital for depression. Quote, I'm grateful that I accepted help because today I stand before you stronger, healthier, and excited to return to the work that I love. He was giving a speech on the House floor. The speech, I'm reading from the Fox News coverage here. The speech came after Keene, age 57, returned to Washington this week after being absent since nearly March. Early March. A spokesperson for the New Jersey Republican said earlier this month that he would return for the June 30 session. During his recovery, he missed 140 roll call votes, amounting to a 100% absence rate. That's according to the website GovTrack. Throughout his absence, Keene's office suggested he would return to work shortly, but pushed back on the timeline on several occasions. Keene said the reason was that he didn't understand how long it would take for him to fully recover. Quote, when I said I hoped to return in a matter of weeks, those were the best estimates that the doctors could provide. But as the over 48 million of my fellow Americans being treated for this illness have come to discover, there is no timeline for healing. The two-term lawmaker kept the nature of his condition private while recovering, but promised transparency upon his return. His silence appeared to extend to House leadership, who said they were in the dark about Keene's ailment when questioned by reporters on several occasions. All right, so the guy's back to work. I didn't realize it took that long, and I don't know much about depression. I mean, but I hear it's pretty bad. But anyway, the guy's back, and I guess that's good news. I guess he got the treatment he needed, and he's back in the saddle. So there you go. I probably could have taken a few more days off, Dylan.
Probably, yeah. I mean,
not 4 months, but, you know, I probably could have. Probably needed to, actually.
You probably could have justified 4 months more than that guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's depression, you know? I mean, it's like a thing, and, you know, people suffer from it. I don't know. Crazy. But anyway, the good news is the guy got himself help, and he got treated, and he's back to work after being AWOL for 140 votes. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926, and glad he's on the road to recovery. So there you go. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Just a reminder, be sure to pre-order your copy of my brand-new book called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, House Speaker Mike Johnson, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Congressman Jim Jordan, among many folks who have endorsed the new book. It'll be in stores on August the 11th, but I would love for you to go ahead and pre-order a copy right now. Well, President Trump absolutely exuberant today over the Supreme Court ruling involving transgender athletes. The president writing, "Big win, the United States Supreme Court just ruled against men playing in women's sports. Wow, that takes that ridiculous situation off the table." The New York Times framing the story this way, "A heartbreaking ruling leaves trans advocates crestfallen." Well, I want to bring into the conversation our good friend, President of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins. Tony, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be with you.
All right, Tony, your take on the, I mean, this is certainly great news for a lot of young athletes, female athletes across the nation right now.
It is. Number one, this is a victory for female athletes that we, going all the way back to the Nixon administration, where we wanted to protect the right of women to participate in sports and have their kind of their own sports so that they could excel, do well, go on to college. Of course, that upended by Obama and later by Biden. But Todd, here's something I've got to realize. The court, while they came down on the right side of this, this was a mess of their own making. I mean, if you go back to Obergefell and the redefinition of marriage, we could not, I mean, there were many of us warning that the redefinition of marriage and sex and marriage was going to lead to fallout in society in a much broader way. Women's sports, clearly one of them. But if sex, gender, matters on the playing field, it matters in the home as well for raising kids.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting point you raise. And I know the fight goes on. Yesterday, we had Sarah Parshall Perry on from Defending Education. These cases involving the all women's colleges where they're accepting men who identify as women, but they won't accept women who identify as men. I think there's still a lot of chaos and confusion right now in the culture when it comes to this issue.
Well, you can't figure it out. I mean, when you depart from truth and common sense, you're not going to come to a solution until you backtrack. And what the court did today, at least in this area of sports, is it recognized, look, we can't fool people much longer. When it comes to competing on the field of sports, there's a difference between men and women. Well, the same is true in many other aspects as well. When it comes to raising kids, it's a difference between a male and a female, a mom and a dad. Both are important in the lives of children.
Tony, I'm wondering, does this resolve this particular issue? The president seemed to say in his True Social post, came away with the understanding of, okay, this is settled, let's move on.
Well, I think you now have 27 states that have said, look, it's only women in women's sports. But you also have about the same number of states that have also said that government money will not be used to transgender children. In fact, making it illegal to take minors and do irreversible surgeries and hormone treatments. So the country's divided on this. How is it going to work out? How is this going to play out in, collegiate sports and elsewhere? I think that's yet to be decided. I do think that the Trump administration will move forward when it comes to federal funding. They'll certainly use that to reach into these blue states that lack common sense and are still playing a charade when it comes to gender.
Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council joining us today on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Tony, a couple of weeks ago we had you on the show. You said the colors in the rainbow flag were fading just a bit. And then over the weekend, all sorts of debauchery. I mean, it's just some of the images coming out from the people wandering around without any clothes on, buck naked in places like Seattle in front of children. And I understand that maybe the colors are fading, but the debauchery seems to be off the charts and getting worse.
Well, hell opened its doors for a day, and a lot came out. A lot of people have made issues about, well, this was in front of children. Who in the world took their children that had a half a brain to one of these parades? I mean, look, I feel for the children, but I feel because they have idiots for parents that would take them to an event like this, knowing the debauchery and the immoral behavior that this community is involved in.
And the police turning a blind eye. It's just overwhelming to me that children were exposed to that. I think you're absolutely right to call out the parents here. What were mom and dad thinking, for goodness sakes?
Right. I mean, these people act like they're shocked that they saw debauchery at a debauchery festival. Yeah. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, you go to the – I mean, this is what this is all about. And but I do say, Todd, I still would say that their colors are fading because the American people are waking up. I think today's Supreme Court decision on women's sports – look, I know that not everyone is connecting the dots yet, but this goes right back to the redefinition of marriage, the redefinition of human sexuality. And I think people are waking up that there are practical implications for this, whether it's on the field of sports or whether it's in the classroom when our kids are being indoctrinated, or the public restroom when you can't go in private without having to share a restroom with someone of the other sex. So I think the American people are waking up to this. Now, whether or not we do a about face and go back and retrace our steps where we it was really the court that imposed this on the nation, but whether or not we demand the changes, that's yet to be seen.
You know, Tony, as much as they, I think the LGBT movement, they've conquered many American classrooms, it seems as though the emphasis is moving more so into churches, and you've got these radical groups that have declared war on a number of churches and congregations trying to silence these churches, but in many cases, they've completely surrendered. We just played some audio from the Portland Mennonite Church where they were sprinkling gay fairy dust on parishioners during a communion service. What is the message here to the body of Christ as the LGBT movement looks like they're taking that war directly to the pews of our churches?
Well, Todd, I would say it's very easy to fill an empty space. And that's what they're doing. They're filling a spiritually empty space. These are nothing more than glorified country clubs. What we need is a return to biblical truth. But those churches that are standing on biblical truth and aligned with biblical truth have not moved one inch because the Word of God has not changed. And so there have been those that have stood firm on biblical truth. They've suffered the consequences. Some of them had their tax exemption challenged. Others have been protested. Some have had their services interrupted. But this is the defining issue. Will we believe and stand on the Word of God, or will we go the direction of the winds of the culture? And there are many churches out there that have chosen the latter, unfortunately. But they're churches in name only. They are not spiritual bodies that are following the Lord Jesus Christ.
Before we let you go, Tony, we have to end on a very positive note. And, of course, that's a great Supreme Court ruling today. But there was something that happened last week in Texas. We talked about it on the radio show last Friday. The excitement around bringing the Bible back to Texas public schools. And yeah. I think this is a great example of something you've talked about for many, many years, of people of faith taking a stand in the public marketplace. And when that happens, good things happen.
Absolutely. And you cannot really understand our culture without having biblical literacy. Back when I was in office 25 years ago, we were able to get the Bible into schools voluntarily in Louisiana. And I applaud those schools and those school districts that are moving the Bible back in. You cannot understand America's foundation and what it means to be an American without having a working knowledge of the Bible.
Well said. All right, Tony Perkins, always good to see you, and thanks for the great work from Family Research Council. You guys are fighting the good fight.
Thank you, Todd. Always great to be with you. Have a great day.
All right, happy 4th. Tony Perkins, everybody, Family Research Council, joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. May I tell you about my good friend Mike Lindell over at MyPillow? They have some wonderful, wonderful opportunities and specials. July 4th specials just for the Todd Starnes Radio Show audience. MyPillow.com/Starnes. Got to use my promo code Starnes. MyPillow.com/Starnes. For example, you're going to be able to save $80 on the beautiful My Cross necklace, premium MyPillows, just $18.98. You're going to be able to get the classic MyPillows, $14.98. And if you're looking for some slippers, and I love the My Slippers, the original My Slippers, now just $29.98 with my promo code STARNS. Go check them out. There are all sorts of wonderful, wonderful things for you to purchase. MyPillow.com/STARNS. Promo code STARNS will unlock all sorts of great savings. And by the way, if you order anything over $100, you're going to get free shipping as well. MyPillow.com/STARNS.
Guys?
My life! Oh, my life!
Michael, what's wrong?
Everything's wrong. The stress of my modern office has caused me to go into a depression.
Depression? Isn't that just a fancy word for feeling bummed out?
Dwight, you ignorant slut!
Oh my, no, you can't say that on it. You can't say that, my goodness. Was that from The Office?
It's only the best TV show of all time.
I see. So you're a big fan.
I grew up watching The Office, and I watch it every time I eat food.
Do you really?
I still do.
You know, I do that with King of Queens and Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes, those are good ones too.
And the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah. Yeah, The Office and Parks and Rec are two of my comfort eating food shows.
The scary thing is how realistic those shows are.
They're becoming very realistic
now. It's true. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Ron in Salem, Oregon. KYKN, our great affiliate out there. Hi, Ron. What's on your mind?
Oh, my goodness. By golly, I'm telling you. I know Mennonites out in Polk County, Oregon. I'm in the Republican Party, as you know, and met you almost 4 years ago, and but to hear the Mennonite church allowing that to happen, this is idolatry. This is idolatry. This is basically, you know, mocking our faith. Where are the pastors? We need some more Mario Morellos and Mr. Wilkerson to come on out and rebuke this garbage. We need to stand up and stand for our values. You can't go through and mock the Lord's work. That's why he sent his disciples out there for Caesarea Philippi. And, you know, they was doing this demonic stuff like nature. I hate to say it. But silence is our doom. I do not want to walk into what they, when I first saw the scene 80 years ago when he was a Tuskegee Airman, went from Eastern France all the way, the mutilation of children and everything else, and condoning it. Nobody's in the churches standing up. Nobody's in the community standing up and just think it's a country norm. It's unacceptable. It is rude. It's dishonorable. It's like dishonoring those that follow by faith in the country. Mennonites are just like Amish in many cases. I did some side work for him, you know. This old Puerto Rican redneck, some buck, is always trying to do what's right. And but at the same time, we need to hold our ground. We need to bring out the light.
I'm not all that familiar with the Mennonites. I kind of thought they were sort of like the Amish folk. But I would feel bad if, say, a Mennonite family, maybe they were on vacation in Portland and they were going to the local Mennonite church, you know, in the Baptist faith tradition. If we're, you know, down at Orange Beach or somewhere, we're going to try to find a Baptist church to go to on Sunday. So you're a Mennonite and you're from like in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. Do they do the buggies or do they drive vehicles? I don't know. I'm genuinely asking. I don't know.
They drive vehicles and some of them, like for their ceremonies, I've seen them ride buggies.
Okay. Well, let's just say for the sake of the visual here. So they're on a vacation and they got their little horse and buggy and they got the little kids and they show up at the first Mennonite church of Portland, Oregon, and they walk in there and they turn around and they realize that the minister has the full Amish Mennonite beard and it's a woman, a lesbian. And the next thing you know, she's bending over during communion and I don't know, pixie dust blows out of her arse. I mean, if I'm a regular Mennonite, I'm hopping in that buggy and I'm going right back to Pennsylvania.
I'm telling you right now, man. I'm a good Christian. I started out Baptist and everything else, and you know, I call myself the Mosaic American Redneck Jew. But nevertheless,
that's a lot.
Stand up.
That's a lot to put on the business card, there, Ron.
I know. 48 years ago, I was in a foster home, 1 month and 1 week and 2 days. But it was the people like them that helped me become the man I am. To go through and just sit silent is like walking down Auschwitz. By the time Bonhoeffer decided to do something, it was too late.
I don't know why. I don't know why people are silent. Maybe they're afraid. Maybe they're cowards. I don't know. But it seems to me that the people responsible for the big lesbian bearded women, you know, blowing pixie dust out their behinds there at the Mennonite church are the people of the Mennonite pews. You can't be tolerating that kind of stuff. So anyway, Ron, thank you for the call. And wait, were they blowing it out the wazoo? I want to make sure I get this accurate. Do we know how they were administering the pixie dust?
I'd like to think not, but maybe they were just holding the hand up and sprinkling.
Oh, is that it?
All right. I don't know.
Remember the pixie sticks? Did you have those as a kid?
I remember those. Yeah. Not too bad.
I went to a very conservative church, and I think they said that it would turn you gay or something, so the kids couldn't eat the pixie dust. Or that was the Teletubbies. I get them confused.
Both I can see happening. Yeah.
Oh, bad news in the world of superhero movies. Don't tell Ian about this. It'll upset him. The new Supergirl movie, she actually did a lot of previews, and she said that straight men and Christian men, she said all sorts of horrible things about them, and apparently they did not go to see the movie because the Supergirl movie is shaping up to be a super bomb, on track to lose at least $100 million. It turns out the movie features a woke Supergirl. And one of the descriptions, this was in Breitbart, they describe Supergirl as looking like a 14-year-old boy with long hair.
Yikes. That's never a good sign.
They said there's no sex appeal, and you were rooting for the villains.
Oh, no.
That's never good.
The kryptonite wins. You're like, yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
Can somebody bring Lex Luthor back, please? Just, it's terrible. Well, this is unfortunate. We tried to warn them, but when you've got the star of the film coming out there and bashing comic book fans, that's usually a bad move. So anyway, this is the second Supergirl film they've done. So this is certainly not good news. I was trying to scroll through the Breitbart piece here. Breitbart did a review on it, and it was not good. It was just not good.
Well, people had high hopes for it because the Superman movie with David Cornsweet was a really good movie itself. And so she was at the end of it kind of teasing that movie, and sucks that it wasn't good.
I guess it was okay.
I liked it better than Man of Steel, actually.
The New York Times says they're blaming misogyny. So it's basically all of you men have a problem with women. So no, I don't think they want to go watch a 14-year-old boy with long hair and boobies. I think that could be the reason why. All right. Wow. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, we're back live again. In the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com. Go check out our website. Get out there and be good and stay cool, America.